The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So glad you're with us today on NFL Live, and of course glad that you're spending the last day of 2020 here. We got so much to get to, and listen, 2021 could mean chaos in the NFL playoff picture. You see it here, 11 teams fighting for 7 playoff spots. That's actually the most entering the final week in the last 30 years. There's also scenarios galore, 35 different potential opening round matchups with all the teams that are in the mix here. So we got all the people who need to talk about it today, who you want to hear from, Louis Riddick and Marcus Spears, who's feeling very festive, as you might see, on New Year's Eve. And of course, Adam Schefter. Let's begin right there. Let's start, Adam, with the Dolphins quarterback situation. They need a win on Sunday to get in the playoffs, and some things have happened over the last few hours.
Laura, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the Dolphins' backup quarterback, their relief pitcher, their closer, has tested positive for COVID. He is now being placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, and he will be out for this game, and he will not be a part of the game against the Buffalo Bills and will not be back for the playoff game if the Dolphins advance for that far as well. So that's a problem for the Miami Dolphins. As for the Los Angeles Rams, Michael Brockers was placed on the reserve COVID list today. They will be without him in their big matchup against the Arizona Cardinals this weekend. So no Brockers, no Cooper Kupp, no Darrell Henderson, maybe no Cam Akers, no Jared Goff. Problems for the Rams. Then we have the Cleveland Browns closing their training facility today after Harrison Bryant tested positive. He's been away from the facility. They're getting back their 4 receivers, but there have been 6 positive tests within the last week, 5 of whom have been on players. So that's a problem for the Cleveland Browns as they try to secure a playoff spot. And Alex Smith, the Washington quarterback, was back taking snaps at practice today. Washington is trying to prep Taylor Heinicke for the game on Sunday night in case he's needed. But the Redskins are hopeful and optimistic that Alex Smith will be ready to start a game that the Washington football team has to have to advance to the postseason.
So much to get to. Adam with us all show long. Let's go back to the news about Ryan Fitzpatrick, though. And I want to start with you on this, Louis. I mean, here's the thing. Now it's all on Tua. There's no Fitzmagic that can come in and save the day. How does this affect the way that you look at this game?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, I think really this is Tua's opportunity to really see himself as the future of the Miami Dolphins at the quarterback position. And that's not to say that that was in question before this news came out. But I think, you know, over the past couple of weeks, you've heard some chatter around the fact that maybe Miami could be looking at drafting another quarterback again this year, given the plethora of picks that they have. But I think for Tua now, it's this. You know that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't going to be sent into the game in the third, fourth quarter, provided that you maybe start to struggle on the road against a playoff-bound Buffalo Bills team that right now is hitting on all cylinders. You know that you're going to have to fight through whatever adversity you may face and continue to build upon whatever prosperity that you have in this game. And I think that's great. I think that's a great opportunity for him, and one where we're going to see just how he embraces this opportunity, how the team rallies around him, and really how Brian Flores, the head coach, manages him throughout this football game. So I think this provides a lot of drama for this football game, because you can best believe, look, he's going up against one of the best teams, not just in the AFC, and I don't care what number of players they rest, Buffalo is hitting on all cylinders, and you saw that last week up in New England. This is a football team right now, Laura, that is really feeling itself as far as its confidence heading into January, and Tua's going to be up against it, and he's going to have his best performance of the year.
Yeah, with that, Lou is absolutely right about what he's talking about. Great opportunity for Tua Tagovailoa, but as well, supporting cast is important. And we've been raving and reviewing about how this Dolphins defense has been able to get after things. Tua is in a situation right now where he needs to not only lean on his talent level and make sure he's hitting on all cylinders, but the guys around him, Parker, Gesicki, Ahmed, anybody that's playing skilled positions, Grant, they have to step their game up. And then from a defensive standpoint, look, we know Miami can turn the football over. We know that they have an elite corner in Xavier Howard on the outside. All of those things have to come to the forefront if they want to get a win against a piping hot Buffalo Bills football team. So I'm looking for everybody else to raise their level of play. And Flores has seemed to push the right buttons in all these important games throughout the year. Obviously, we're bringing in Fitzpatrick against the Las Vegas Raiders and what transpired at the end of that game. And this is one of those times where he's going to have to continue to be one of the top coaches that we think he is in this NFL.
Yeah, I think, Marcus, I think you make a great point over, you know, about the fact that this is going to be a total team effort. That I don't mean to suggest that Tua has to put the entire, you know, franchise on his shoulders here in order to gain this playoff berth. There's no question that the other players on this roster and other supporting players that are make up the supporting cast are going to have to carry their weight and make sure that now for 3 hours, 3.5 hours, however long this game takes, that they all dial in. But I think for Tua himself, look, this is a guy who coming out in the draft, we thought, or at least I thought, and I think the majority of people thought that this is a guy who, barring the injury that he had, if it weren't for that injury, that he was probably pretty much considered to be the consensus number one quarterback as far as being ready, executing a pro-style offense at Alabama, and executing it at the highest level. I just think this is a great stage for him personally to not only lean on the rest of the people surrounding him on this football team, but for Tua to show, hey, look, in the biggest moment, on the road, in an environment where it's going to be cold, it's probably going to snow against a football team that right now just sees blood in the water no matter who they go against, for me to say, hey, look, check this out. I know that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't sitting behind me. I know that Brian isn't going to be like, come here, stand over here next to me. We're going to put Fitzmagic in. It's for him. It's his time to shine. And I think for a guy who's made up the way he's made up, what a great opportunity. I cannot wait to watch. I'm more excited to watch this game now than I was before because of the opportunity it presents for him.
Yeah, and Lewis, we're going to know a lot more about Tua's development, even maybe in one game. Marcus, how much do you think it helps him? Let's say, hypothetically, he struggles. He throws an interception or something, and then he's able to come back and show what he's made of. How does that help him in a sense that he's not really getting that opportunity when Fitzpatrick comes in and saves the day all the time?
No doubt, Els, and Lou can speak to this as well. Every competitor wants a redo, right? You're going to go through situations in games, especially when you're a young football player. You're going to go through some things throughout the first and second and third quarter that at some point you want to have some redemption. It almost reminds me of Tua's responses in college, right? Last year against LSU, going toe-to-toe with Joe Burrow, going into the national championship. People all talk about the game-winning touchdown that he threw against Georgia, but he threw an interception and took a terrible sack before that. Right. So all competitors want another opportunity to make a play, and I think Tua is built that way. Lou mentioned his mindset, his mentality. Brian Flores had to know that before he decided to create this Ryan Fitzpatrick closer situation. You got to know that your young guy is built and strong enough mentally to handle that situation. Now, with no looking over his back, now the opportunity to make a mistake, knowing that I'm gonna have another drive and potentially another drive to go correct those things and really put my stamp on this team without having to worry about not being able to finish. I want to see how he responds. I'm with Lou. It's become one of the most intriguing games of the weekend.
Yeah, we tried to get the research department on whether Tua had ever played in a game with snow. He kind of said that he had when asked about it. Turns out I don't think he has, so that's going to be really interesting.
Not that kind of snow.
Yeah, no. All right, we got another really interesting game to get to, guys. The Rams and the Cardinals, in a game that the Cardinals need to win to get in. Kyler Murray hobbled to some degree, but will play. And you can see the Rams are so shorthanded. Of course, Jared Goff out. We're going to see John Wolford, and that's a whole other scenario for Sean McVay. But, Lewis, why do you think this game might be more about the Cardinals when it's all said and done?
Yeah, Laura, I mean, think about this. For the Cardinals, for Cliff Kingsbury and their program build right now, I mean, this is a game where you're going against a division opponent that is severely hobbled right now. They don't have their quarterback. They don't have their best wide receiver. They could potentially, well, they don't have one of their best running backs. And then on the defensive side, they could be missing some pieces there as well. So they're severely hobbled right now, and they're hamstrung. So for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray and for Vance, a coordinator, this is a referendum on you as well to say, hey, look, we need to go ahead and win this football game in order to show people where we are at as far as our program is concerned. Just like the same way that we're talking about, you know, where's Miami at with Tua? Where's Buffalo at with Baker Mayfield in these situations where they have to win and get in? It's the same situation here, but on a bigger scale for the Arizona Cardinals. Because I'll tell you this,
Yeah. If
Sean McVay goes ahead and beats the Arizona Cardinals with a quarterback that has never even seen the field in a regular season game, let alone start, in this kind of situation where you have to win to get in, and you're missing your number one running back, your number one wide receiver, you could be hobbled on defense. What does that say for you in the big moments as an organization against a division opponent that right now is playing with one arm tied behind its back? It would be a heck of a feather in Sean McVay's cap, but I'll tell you, for Cliff Kingsbury, there would be a whole bunch of questions that would be being asked of him at this point as far as just how good are the Arizona Cardinals.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, in a normal year, we go through, at this point of the season, the potential of guys sitting out or injuries. Now you have COVID, which has entered the conversation, and teams have to adjust. They have to figure out a way to get it done. The Rams defense needs to carry the day. Obviously, we know Warhol will be the backup quarterback for the Rams. And, you know, people, it's almost weird to me, too, that it's not this panic and freak out that Jared Goff is not playing, but based on how he's performed the past couple weeks, people may want to see a different quarterback, Lou, in operating this offense. But when you think about it from a defensive standpoint, that's the unit that we've raved about for the Los Angeles Rams. Staley, the defensive coordinator, and these guys, these names, the Aaron Donalds of the world, the Jalen Ramseys of the world, Leonard Floyds of the world, they need to try to take over this game and hopefully take advantage of a Kyler Murray that won't be at 100% with his mobility.
Yeah, John Wofford is a real speedy guy. You never know what Sean McVay can dial up with him at quarterback. Might be a little different or maybe more in line with what he wants to do. He can't do with Jared Goff. College football playoff semis tomorrow. Can't wait for that. And how about this? ESPN draft analyst Todd McShay released his updated prospect rankings for the 2021 NFL draft yesterday. You see him right there. There are four players in the top 10 that will be playing in tomorrow's college football playoff games. One of the biggest differences, though, in McShay's latest rankings is that Ohio State QB Justin Fields has dropped from second to ninth overall, falling behind BYU QB Zach Wilson, who a lot of teams seem to like. So let's bring in Adam Schefter here. How likely is it that Fields drops to be the third quarterback taken after all?
Well, I think that's a distinct possibility, Laura. When you think about this, about a month or two ago, Mel Kiper Jr. himself said that he saw Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields as quarterbacks 1 and 1A in this draft. And Justin Fields still may go number two, but I think Zach Wilson is clearly gaining on him. So it will be important for Justin Fields to leave NFL scouts with one final memory here in this college football playoff, play well, and try to boost up his stock one more time. The draft process has a lot of twists and turns to it. Player stocks rise and fall inexplicably over the weeks of analysis. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think that Justin Fields is right there with Trevor Lawrence anymore. I think he's right there right now with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I think there's always a little bit of recency bias that kind of takes place at this time of year, especially in a season where right now that the players have really stopped and started and stopped and started. In the case of Ohio State, have played just a small number of games. And I think with Justin Fields in particular, you have to take into account his entire body of work and not just look at his most recent games and say, well, you know what, this is more indicative of what he's going to be long-term. The fact of the matter is you don't really know what he is going to be long-term because he's a guy who is still at the early stages of his development. But make no mistake about it, the better he plays in this football game, the more he will calm some of the fears that have kind of crept up recently as far as his ability to make good decisions, be accurate with the football, and be consistent overall. A good performance will help that. But, this is just kind of like the world we live in right now, especially with quarterbacks. I mean, evaluations change all over the place, and especially when he's going to be going up against the guy who right now is considered to be the consensus number one overall player in the draft, in Trevor Lawrence. A good showing against him to where maybe they go ahead and pull out a win will do nothing but boost his stock. But I think you have to take the entire picture, the entire body of work, and there's going to be a lot of evaluation that's going to take place after this game anyway. So I think, the book is yet to be written, on Justin Fields.
Key word there for me was when Lou said evaluation, right? Like every scout, every general manager knows that this has been a different year for these guys, and the evaluation is going to be the most important thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, Justin Fields is going to blow people away in the evaluation process from an athletic standpoint, arm strength standpoint, and the ability to just kind of be a guy where we see in the vein of what this league is. We have obviously Lamar and Russ and Josh Allen now coming along, showing the athleticism, the big time arm, and the ability to progress. Like Josh Allen is a great example of Brian Daboll of an organization investing in really tutoring their quarterback to become what they need him to be in order to win games. I'm sure there'll be a lot of teams for Justin Fields with the same type of mindset and mentality. The measurables are off the charts. All right, the arm strength is off the charts, and there is film of Justin Fields balling out of his mind in a lot of games in college. So I think the evaluation process this year will be more magnified than most others. Look, Joe Burrow was the first overall draft pick because of a college season. All right, that's why Joe Burrow went first. It wasn't the evaluation process because he did not have the strongest arm, was not the most athletic, but he had those intangible things, won a lot of games, had a lot of great moments. In this regard, Justin Fields has a leg up because this evaluation will probably be more important than one we've ever seen in a draft.
Yeah, one thing, too, guys, to remember, this has been such a crazy, unprecedented year for college kids. These guys are a lot younger than these NFL players trying to deal with all of that. Ohio State, in particular, just trying to even play enough games to feel like they were in the mix. The Big Ten has to bend the rules to even get them in the championship game. It's been something that you would think that the draft scouts, the analysts, everybody would take into consideration. Okay, let's talk about who else you're watching, non-quarterbacks, in the college football playoff semifinals on ESPN tomorrow. Marcus, who are you watching in Ohio State Clemson that's not a quarterback?
For me, it's Trey Sermon, running back for Ohio State. Listen, when they were struggling against Northwestern, one of the reasons why we're having this conversation about Justin Fields, Ryan Day decided to hand the football off and let this young man take over the football game, and that he did. So if Ohio State is going to have success in this playoff against Clemson and potentially in the national championship, he's going to have a huge stamp on this game. Don't throw it all the way around the yard. Be a little bit balanced and allow Trey to be the man.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a running back on the opposite side of the ledger here, and that's Travis Etienne from Clemson. And look, this is a good back now. This is a guy who can run inside, outside the tackles. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a guy who can run with power. He has breakaway speed. And we all know this. We all know that despite the fact that we have a lot of debate about how much you should pay running backs, we know that rookie running backs that don't have a lot of tread on their tires are a sought-after commodity. Big game tonight will help him, or rather a big game tomorrow night will help him out tremendously.
The other semifinal game, the Rose Bowl featuring Notre Dame and Alabama. Marcus, give me a player in that non-quarterback that you're looking out for.
Oh, you know who I'm looking out for, Devontae Smith, in the Heisman conversation, but a dynamic wide receiver, and everybody talks about his ability to run past people, but he catches the ball in tough situations. He's a slender build guy that's not afraid to go over the middle. I love what they've done with him from an offensive standpoint to show how much skill and talent he has. And don't forget this as well, special teams, because he will take one to the crib on you if you ain't watching.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm watching the entire unit of the Alabama defense right now, and specifically their pass defense. Look, this hasn't been a pass defense that is up to Nick Saban's usual standards, knowing that he is a former defensive back coach. He coached me when I was with the Cleveland Browns, and you can just see Nick and his body language on the sidelines sometimes when they blow coverages. He is about to throw a fit and blow a gasket. So I want to see how this defense plays in this football game, because they have had some issues. And he's someone who, look, quite right away whether or not he's happy or not with their pass defense. just keep an eye on Nick on Friday night.
Yeah, they got they struggled a little bit early on, big time, Lewis. They simplified their scheme a little bit, and those guys were able to master that a little bit more. But you're right. I don't think Coach Saban's been happy with the defense all year long. Dylan Moses helps there, though, at least in the middle of that defense. In this week 17, a lot of it having to do with Washington in that NFC East. Will we see Alex Smith play in this game? Well, didn't practice earlier in the week, then today was back at practice. Of course, he's dealing with that calf injury. Ron Rivera talking about his QB, what he looked like today. Take a listen from Rivera earlier.
You know, I thought he handled it well. I thought he had a good day. You know, but as again, I always say it with a little trepidation. It's always, we'll see how he is tomorrow morning. But it was a positive step, I think, in the right direction. I do agree with you, what you said initially, and that was this is the most we'd seen from him early on. So, again, it was a plus. It was a positive sign today.
So Rivera says positive sign. Adam, was this kind of the plan all along for Rivera? I mean, for Alex Smith and Rivera, I guess.
Lord, they wanted to get Tyler Heinicke some reps early on because they know that Alex Smith knows the offense, knows the team, knows the personnel, and they know that he could step in at a later date as long as that calf is healthy and functioning, that he could step in and pick up where he needs to play the Eagles on Sunday night and try to win the division for the Washington football team. So the idea early on was to get Heinicke some reps, get him some familiarity and comfort. They did that. Now they try to ramp up Alex Smith and get him ready for Sunday night. Again, I think they believe if there are no setbacks and if his calf feels okay, he's in line to start on Sunday night against Philadelphia. But they also have to get him through the week. Last week, he didn't feel the way he should have, and so they're hoping that he does this week before Sunday night.
So obviously last week, Lewis, Dwayne Haskins' performance was abysmal. We know what happened there. How much of an upgrade is Alex Smith at the quarterback spot if he's able to start in this one?
Oh, he's a significant upgrade simply because he has more experience and he's someone who has been known throughout his career to be a very ball-conscious quarterback, a kind of guy who doesn't put his team in harm's way as far as, you know, taking unnecessary sacks, throwing unnecessary interceptions, putting his team in bad field position type of situations, and he understands the long game, so to speak, better than most young quarterbacks do. And that's what's going to need to happen for Washington to win this football game, particularly with no Terry McLaurin, if he's not able to play. Grind it out type of football game for them. It's going to be a three-phase type of football game, and it's going to be imperative that you're playing with a quarterback who understands that, has the patience for it, understands how to get them not just in good passing play situations, but in good run game situations, meaning if the front presents itself to where they could take advantage of it in the run game, which is one of their strong points, that he gets them into the right play. These are all the things that are right in Alex Smith's wheelhouse, and they're going to need to really lean on every bit of that veteran experience that he has in order to win this football game, because make no mistake, Washington's not going to blow anybody out. They need to play in a highly efficient type of game, and that starts with the quarterback position. That's why they need to do whatever it takes to make sure Alex Smith makes it to this football game.
The reality is, either way, Marcus, it feels like this is a game that this Washington defense is going to be like, yeah, we'll take this one on our shoulders, right?
Absolutely. Listen, they have the ability to take over games. I'll be interested to see how Jack Del Rio deploys this defense against an athletic quarterback like Jalen Hurts. It's a bunch of athletic guys. We talk about the plays that they are making. Obviously, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Kerrigan. We talk about all of the beautiful, illustrious things they've done. What they do well, too, is that they have discipline rush lane-wise together. They understand how to play bear-with-me basketball. Right? Remove and replace. That's a big part of playing D-line, especially when you're playing against guys like Jalen Hurts, who will change your rush lanes as the play is developing. So I'm looking forward to seeing these guys up front dominate this game. And something Lou said, like the ball conscious part of Alex Smith is imperative because this defense can turn the football over. They can create some short fields, some extra possessions, ability to get field goals regardless of if you get in the end zone or not. So I expect them to carry the day. I expect them to dominate this offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles and really make this a troublesome outing for Jalen Hurts. We saw Jalen struggle a bit against the Dallas Cowboys late in that game when they start to get a bit of pressure. Well, here you go. Serve up Chase Young. Serve up Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Montez Sweat. all of these dudes. Like, go out there and beat them. Go out there and create plays against them. It's probably one of the toughest things to do in the NFL, and I'm looking forward to seeing this Washington football team front dominate this game.
Yeah, I don't think Jalen Hurts has seen a defense like this Washington defense, that's for sure. But the one thing is, he's a little bit harder to bring down than people realize. Remember, Jalen can bench like almost 600 pounds or something crazy like that. So he might be harder to bring down than you might think. All right, so Lewis, all Washington needs to do. Yeah.
Jalen is going to be real familiar with some of those guys over there.
That's like Alabama
too.
NFL.
He played against damn near 90% of them.
Right, exactly. He knows them. I wonder how that goes with them. Anyway, who knows? So here's the thing, Lewis. Washington just needs to win this game, and then they can just finally win this NFC East that everybody's like, who's going to win this division? But let's say that they slip up in some way here. Who do you have more confidence in, the Cowboys or the Giants, to win this NFC East?
Yeah, that's just a ridiculous, unfair question, isn't it?
I'm sorry, Lou.
All right. So you want me to pick one? I mean, yeah. You know what? I think I'll go.
Hey,
right
Lou,
now
don't
with
do this.
Dallas,
and that Lou, and that, don't do this to me. What's that? Don't do it to me, Lou. Come on, man.
Hey,
don't
well,
pick the Cowboys.
I'm sorry.
Man. Don't do it to me.
I am. I'm going with the Cowboys because I'll tell you what. I do think that their offensive firepower right now is starting to show itself a little bit. Andy Dalton's getting more and more comfortable. And look, they have three wide receivers. I'm just telling you, explosive plays is what wins in the NFL. It just does. Plus 10-yard plays in the run game, plus 20-yard plays in the pass game. And they got people all over the field who can create them, both in the running game and in the passing game. So I'm going to think that I know that the Giants defense can play some good football. I know that. And I know that Dallas's defense can absolutely just look like Swiss cheese and look like a sieve. But I do believe that in this game, I'm just going to put my money right now on the fact that I think Dallas will be able to create enough explosives in order to win this football game. And if in fact Washington stumbles, then they'll be there to go ahead and benefit.
Oof.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Crazy, huh?
Come on, Lou. Yep. Come on.
He's
come on.
Smiling.
Go on this roller coaster ride with me that I've been on for 17 weeks. Just an absolute roller coaster. At times, feel like you're dead and death is knocking at the front door. And now we're sitting here week 17 and the Cowboys got an opportunity to go to the damn playoffs. 2020 for you in a nutshell, right? We're going to come back from redemption. I'm going to put these 2021 glasses on later on in this show. That's the exact what the Cowboys are this year. Oh, we are literally sitting here. Like, I've been on this show a few weeks ago saying the Cowboys are dead. It ain't no reason to talk about
that.
Them at all. I was so mad and upset about the way that they were playing. Giving up 1,000 yards rushing in games, no semblance of an offense, offensive line struggling, Zeke fumbling the damn ball, all kind of stuff going on. Now we're sitting here with the opportunity to go into the
and
playoffs.
Still
so
alive.
I'm going to hold my mule. They still alive, Lou. They still alive, so it's going to be the Cowboys for me, too. Lou is on the roller coaster ride with me, baby. I love it.
Man, this thing's like one of those roller coasters that nobody really wants to get on, but you want to tell your friends that you were on it because it's like a cool thing to do. But anyway, we'll see what happens for you, Marcus.
The story of my life.
Yeah, right. Lou, very true. The story of 2020. What a weekend for sports fans. You get the college football playoff semifinals here on ESPN and also a wild week potentially in the NFL with week 17. Lots of implications. And here's a look at that right now. Some of these teams needing a win in week 17 to make it. Teams like the Colts, Giants, and Cowboys need to win and have others lose to make the postseason. Indy actually the biggest favorite this Sunday against the Jaguars, while the Dolphins have the slimmest chance to win, of course, against the Bills. This according to ESPN's Football Power Index. It's just wild even to see all those teams on a list, guys, of how many still have a shot, right? It's the most that have a shot like this in 30 years. But this leads me to asking you guys, which team needing a win are you most confident in this weekend? Which team are you least confident in and why? Let's start with the teams you are most confident in. Excuse me, least confident in. Let me get this right. Lewis, you go first.
Yeah, I hate to say this because I'm a big Sean McVay fan, but I'm a little worried about the Rams right now. And understand that there's a lot of confidence and a lot of optimism surrounding having Wolford in there at quarterback right now. But just think of all the things that else, you know, other things that he's missing in terms of players. And with Cooper Kupp not being there, Darrell Henderson not being there, Cam Akers being hobbled right now, I mean, that's a lot of firepower on offense to be missing. If they can pull this game off, look, I would be absolutely thrilled. But I'm a little worried about the Rams this week.
Yeah, Els, I'm concerned about the Titans. Obviously, this pass defense is a problem, and Deshaun Watson is having as good of a season as any quarterback in the league. He's just not on a winning team, so we don't talk about him every week. The Tennessee Titans pass defense have cost them an opportunity to already have this thing locked up. The offense is going to have to carry the day against a bad Texans defense, but I'm concerned about this pass defense and how Deshaun can get hot in games.
Okay, so Lewis least confident in the Rams, Marcus least confident in the Titans in week 17. Lou, how about the team you're most confident in to go ahead and make it to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think easily for me, this is the Indianapolis Colts. I believe that they will handle their business against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, this is a team that absolutely has a ferocious defense, a ferocious front seven, and a bunch of guys that will just bludgeon your quarterback and your offense. And on the offensive side of the ball, look, I believe that Phillip Rivers is one of those guys who right now, look, he has enough left in the tank to be able to go ahead and put up some points at will against a Jaguars team that clearly is in a rebuild mode and they need to reset for 2021. So I look for the Colts to go ahead and handle business quite convincingly this weekend.
For me, it's the Baltimore Ravens. I said it a few weeks ago. I like where this team is. I think the spot they're in has created some things about them that's going to be tough to handle in the playoffs. We've seen Lamar get back to MVP-level football. We see this run game starting to impose its will on the teams that they're playing against. And obviously, the defense getting healthy. Jimmy just got a new contract. Him and Peters and Humphreys and Calais Campbell back in the middle of this defense. The Ravens are going to be hard to handle going forward, but I expect them to get it done this week, too.
Yeah, and just one more thing on Lewis's point about the Colts. ESPN's FPI gives them the 84% chance, the highest percent chance to win, but they do need some help from other teams to even get in. All right, let's get to our DraftKings plays of the day with Adam Schefter here. So, Adam, who are you looking out for to have the best performances in Week 17?
Laura, Week 17 is always a peculiar week with some teams having everything to play for and some teams have nothing to play for and some teams are playing all their players and some teams are playing very few of their players. Keeping that all in mind, I think you have to look at the Colts who are trying to win the game, who are going to ride Jonathan Taylor and keep riding Jonathan Taylor because he's been impressive down the stretch. Started slow during the course of the season, had some fumble issues, didn't carry the football the way the Colts thought, and has really come on lately and shown the potential. And as to why the Colts drafted him as high as they did. And, of course, Derrick Henry, an obvious choice here, right? The Titans are coming off a disappointing loss in Green Bay. They have to win this game to move forward here. They're going to ride Derrick Henry. You know they're going to use him quite a bit. It's the right kind of matchup, and Derrick Henry is poised to have a big final regular season Sunday. And then, of course, the Minnesota Vikings will be without Dalvin Cook, who lost his father unexpectedly Tuesday night. Our condolences to him. So you have to figure that Mike Boone figures into their plans on Sunday against Detroit. They'll be looking for somebody to carry the football to get him through the game. Mike Boone is a plausible guy who's been productive when he's gotten the opportunities, Laura.
Going with three running backs, I like it, Adam. Hey, we're counting down the hours until 2021, about 8 hours away from this new year.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We go to our Domino's pregame headquarters now with Adam Schefter. Lots of stories to start today. Let's recap them right now, Adam.
Well, Laura, we'll start in Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick testing positive for COVID-19 and being placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. He's out Sunday if the Dolphins advance to the playoffs there. Don't know whether they'll have him at that point in time. They signed Jake Ruddock off the street, have another quarterback there. So, again, Miami will be without their closer, their relief pitcher. Tua Tagovailoa will have to carry the Dolphins home into the postseason if they're going to make it. The Los Angeles Rams placed Michael Brockers on the reserve COVID-19 list, joins Cooper Kupp, who also tested positive. Both players have. Missing Jared Goff, missing Darrell Henderson. Cam Akers hasn't practiced this week due to an ankle injury. Not a great situation for the Rams as they try to secure a playoff spot on Sunday. As for the Cleveland Browns, they shut their facility. Take a look at the players here who basically have been on reserve COVID-19. They did activate four wide receivers today, so they are getting some help back, but they don't know when they're going to open their facility, so they're trying to get ready for their most important regular season game, and they can't even practice in their facility. Welcome to the end of 2020. And Alex Smith was back taking reps with the Washington first-string offense today, gearing up for Sunday night. If he can't start, Tyler Heinicke would start in his place, but Washington is optimistic that Smith will be back in the starting lineup for a game that the franchise has to have to beat Philadelphia to win the NFC East. Again, just think about that. Who would have thought that Washington would have to have Alex Smith in the final week of the season to win the division title?
You know, they say that facts are stranger than fiction sometimes, and real life can be a lot stranger than fiction, especially this year. All right, time for smart lineup decisions informed by IBM Watson. Let's go to Marcus for this. We heard the news from Adam there about Ryan Fitzpatrick testing positive for COVID-19, so that means it's all on Tua to handle the pressure here. You know him well, Marcus. You've watched him in pressure-packed situations. Can he handle it?
Yes, he can. Seminal moment. For Tua Tagovailoa, especially in his NFL career, baby. I'm bringing in 2021.
Let's go.
I'm expecting Tua to do the same damn thing when he play against the Buffalo Bills. Listen, we all know where he comes from. Lou mentioned it earlier, play for Nick Saban, run just like a NFL organization franchise. The way he makes personnel decisions, Tua's ready for the challenge.
Lewis, I really wish you had some of those glasses, but I know that you don't.
And me too.
Yeah, don't we all, right? All right, we got time for one more thing before we go. And, Lewis, we're going to let you kick us off here.
Yeah, this is what I remember. My favorite moment from 2020, Week 14, Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson's in the locker room. He has cramps. You know, Trace McSorley's in the ball game. He gets hurt on third down. It's fourth down. They're down. You see Lamar Jackson come running out of the tunnel. He comes in the football game. And on fourth and five, what does he do? He just throws a touchdown. He just comes out, warms up a little bit. Then you see him here. He does what Lamar does. He scrambles out here and throws a touchdown here to Marquise Brown. And you're just going, this is just ridiculous. That, without a doubt, was one of the most exciting moments of 2020. And without a doubt, the best game that we had on Monday Night Football this season.
All right, my favorite moment from 2020 would be the last Super Bowl. We go back to the opening of the game, 62,000 fans in attendance. Who would think that that would be the last time that we'd have 62,000 fans in attendance at a game? And you look around the crowd, it seems surreal. It was only 11 months ago, and it feels in a way like it was a lifetime ago. We look forward to the day when we can get back 62,000 fans in the stadium for the start of a Super Bowl or any sporting event.
Mine is actually one of the opt-outs. My man, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, opted out of football this year after winning the Super Bowl, offensive lineman with the Kansas City Chiefs, to go practice his medicine and take care of people that were struggling with COVID-19 during this pandemic. It's one of the most noble things I've seen, to walk away from the opportunity to play again. The Kansas City Chiefs are in a great spot to end up right back in the Super Bowl. He sacrificed himself to go help others. So shout out to Duvernay-Tardif.
My favorite moment of 2020, Ron Rivera and his triumph, coaching the Washington football team as well as he did, and then ringing the bell to signify the end of his cancer treatment. He's been through so much this year and yet has never shown anything except perseverance and bravery through all of it. Shout out to you, Ron Rivera. Also, shout out to all of you who have watched us this year. We appreciate you. We would not have as much fun every day if it weren't for our interaction with all of you. And big love to our crew who makes us look good. The people behind the scenes on NFL Live are the reason why we get to do what we love every single day. Here's the best of 2020 from our show, and we'll see you guys in 2021.